Only smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.
Good morning, campers! Pick up your coffee cup, make a cup of tea, pour yourself a beer. Hair of the dog, it's the Francine Marie Show!
Good morning, thanks for joining us. Many of us have been in a position financially where we called ourselves poor, where we called ourselves broke, called ourselves losing. We've always wanted to be on the winning side of money, but some of us have lived a lifetime, literally a lifetime, and have not figured how to be rich thing out. We bought the books, we listened to the tape, we watched the shows, we downloaded that video, The Secret. But somehow the money keeps slipping through our hands. So when I heard about this nonprofit called Poor No More, I said, we have got to get them on the show. Good morning, Mr. Jermaine Nakia Lee.
Good morning. It's such a pleasure to be with you this morning.
Your bio, which is about 7 pages long, ladies and gentlemen. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, come on now.
It is songwriter, actor, director, playwright, producer, community activist. Now you're a community, you put that at the end of the list. That should be at the very top, or maybe not. When do you sleep?
Yeah, sleep is my favorite thing to do. I'm an artist first, and so I'm an artist for social change, and that's how the community activism kind of blends together.
And I love the name, and that domain was still open, Poor No More, so everybody can go there now. I know you're on Facebook.
I am, yeah, Facebook and IG.
Okay, so why the name Poor No More?
Well, it started with a conversation with my boys. I have a 12-year-old. I'm about to have a teenager. That's so crazy. And a soon-to-be 7-year-old. And we were having a conversation one day as we were walking down Center City. And if any of you have ever, took a stroll down Center City, you know that you really see Charlotte's homeless population there. And my kids, they live in Concord, so they don't see a lot of that in Concord. And we were just having a conversation about where people are economically in our country and the fact that, 70 million Americans are what we consider poor or working poor, where they are working full-time jobs, sometimes full-time jobs and part-time jobs, and still can't make ends meet. And I was talking to my boys about their privilege, about the fact that they've never missed a meal, and they've never had to worry about when they got home if the electricity would be on or the water would be on. And as a matter of fact, they complain if the Wi-Fi isn't moving fast enough, mm-hmm. or if one of their devices, doesn't have a battery, and how we live in so much privilege. And I want them to be aware of their privilege, and I want them to be aware of the fact that I have been homeless and I have lived in my car, and I'm a degree holder, and I still live that life at one point. I've couch surfed. I've been hungry. I've been on entitlements like food stamps. I've had to wait in lines at Crisis Ministry on Spratt Street here in Charlotte. And I wanted them to understand that and understand that poverty is a mentality. It's a reality. It's a real reality and a way of living. But moreover, it's a mentality. And at some point, I made a decision that I wasn't going to be poor anymore. I was going to be poor no more. And I believe, because I'm a person of faith, that when I made that decision, I activated something in my life, something that was probably already there, but that heart and mentality was somehow blocking. So that isn't to say that there aren't real external factors like racism and discrimination, particularly for people of color, the impact of slavery that have affected people of color communities in a way that it has not affected other communities. And those factors certainly impact how we live economically and the opportunities that we have and the opportunities that we see for ourselves. But that said, there is a way to escape that. And I decided to do that. And from that conversation with my boys, I contacted family members contacted some of my other business and creative colleagues. And it just started with me collecting a few dollars. I have a creative art studio in NoDa. I had a couple of days where I had like a food drive and had people drop off canned goods. And so then I had all this, you know, this inventory of donations that I had to do something with it. And so I decided, well, how am I going to get the word out to those who are in need that we have these goods here? We have a little bit of funding, emergency assistance funding, and we have goods here. And so we used Prowess on social media and connected to some of the other social services organizations like the, you know, Charlotte-Mecklenburg Social Services Department and the Children and Family Services, and connected to some of the residential facilities here in Charlotte that are housing seniors and housing people who are in recovery or who are transitioning out of homelessness. And it started that way, you know, and then it started growing so much that I realized, you know, I needed to turn it from a project into a real organization. And that's when I began to interview people for a board of directors. We created a board and created bylaws, and incorporated and applied for our 501c3 nonprofit status. And I guess the name Pour No More was kind of always hovering above the work. And we adopted that name, and here we are. And I just want to say, you know, Francine, the Charlotte community is amazing. They have been amazing as it relates to their philanthropy, their volunteerism, and the way in which that they have donated sacrificially to this organization. I think the thing that people most appreciate about Pour No More is that at this time, we don't have any administrative costs. Every single dollar lands in the hand of one of our clients. Every item of clothing, every appliance, every electronic, every pair of shoes, every coat, every toiletry, every paper product, anything that is donated, every single thing lands in the hand of one of our poor or working poor clients.
And not many nonprofit or organizations can actually say that with pride, because they'll say a certain percentage goes, but then, you know, they're kind of playing with those funds and not leaving them locally. You know, when it comes to research on breast cancer, African-American women have been giving for years, but the research hasn't been on them. You know, we just found that out.
Absolutely. Yeah, same thing with prenatal care and all of that. You know, Black women are disproportionately having malpractice suits, and some of them even perishing due to poor prenatal care.
Wow. Yeah, the mortality rate is people wouldn't believe what's going on in 2020. If you're just not tuning in, we got a new best friend this morning. It's Pour No More. I love the name. We like him too. He's our new best friend. It's Jermaine Nikhil Lee. He is a songwriter, actor, director, playwright, producer, community activist, and we're talking about his organization. And we need to tell people that the organization provides services, financial education, financial empowerment. I'm going down this list right now. You have a food bank. You have a free store. You have emergency assistance funds, and those are going to be qualified. Folks that can qualify, I'm looking down here, senior citizens, 65 years and older, ding, 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 veterans, a homeless folk, right? Because that's the main folks, a large population of folks who don't have the address, so you can't send me mail. Hello, right?
That's right.
You finally figured that out.
That's right.
Damn. Are you currently receiving food stamps or benefits, Social Security, disability benefits? I'll let you take it from there.
I don't think folks think about this, but there are more working poor folk than there are poor and homeless folk, right? The homeless population in our country is growing and it's out of control, but there are actually more people who actually have a job or have multiple jobs and cannot take care of themselves or and their children or and the seniors that are living with them and their children. And that's a problem. These are hardworking folk, people we're considering essential workers now, right? Mm-hmm. People who are making our beds and doing our lawns and preparing our food and cleaning up after us. These are the real essential workers. And one thing about this COVID pandemic is we've gotten to see that those we consider the least of us are actually some of the most important people to our existence. But the unfair thing about those people that we consider essential workers is they don't make essential wages. They make small wages that are really far and below the cost of living. In this economy, the minimum wage should at least be $15 to $17 an hour. In Charlotte alone, you cannot get a two-bedroom apartment in a generally decent neighborhood if you don't make at least $40,000 to $50,000, because the average apartment is upward of $1,000 to $1,500 a month. A $9 to $10 an hour wage worker cannot afford that in addition to their utilities and transportation and healthcare. Healthcare is last on the list. Mm-hmm. You know, so those people are working themselves to death, literally. And then when they get sick, they don't have the fun or the coverage healthcare wise. And because they are working, many of them don't qualify for entitlement. So they need a break. And Poor No More was created to give those folk a break. So as you mentioned, yes, we have a free store that is located in the Noda community, and we have a food bank in that same facility. And when funds are available, yes, we do emergency assistance funding. And what we understand is, like, you can give a man a fish, but if you teach a man how to fish, they'll never be hungry. And so we also do financial empowerment workshops. And that's everything from as simple as, like, how to create a budget, you know, the best ideas for saving your money. How do you save money when you're already not making enough money, right? So even more mature ideas about savings, like IRAs and stocks and bonds. So we have those conversations as well.
Wow. Because remember Susie Orman, who used to make us feel bad on Saturday night because we didn't have a nest egg?
Yeah. That's right.
Well, you know, it's funny, after this COVID situation in March, we realized companies who were laying everyone off, they didn't have any money either all of a sudden. So,
Yeah.
So if you are currently receiving food stamps, and from what I've heard from my friends who have gotten laid off and furloughed, food stamps department, they bumped up their game, and people were getting their food stamps quicker. I don't know if everyone was, but yeah, I still haven't got my $1,200 yet. Where's my $1,200?
Oh no, I got mine.
See, you were on the list. I think they got lists. And I noticed in Charlotte, you said we had a great community who gives a lot, and we do. And a lot of times It's the folks who do give sacrificially, who don't really have a lot, but they still give of what they have. So.
Oh, it's so funny you say that. Yes, you know, probably 50% of our donations come from people who actually donated. They come, they see the service that we're providing, they're grateful for the service, and then they go home and say, you know what, but, you know, as much as this service was amazing to me, I actually have things that I could give as well. And those folk come back and give. It's really amazing. Mm-hmm. Folk who have so little come back and give.
And you have drop-off hours. Let's talk about those drop-off hours.
Yeah, so we're located in Noda, in the same complex as Amelie's Bakery, Amelie's French Bakery. So we're right at North Davison Street and 27th. And the address is 2424 North Davison Street, Suite 110. And we're located inside of another facility called Noda at 28th Creative Arts Studios. So Poor No More is located inside of Noda at 28th Creative Arts Studios. The great thing about that, and that's intentional, is that when people walk into, you know, to get services from Poor No More, it's not like going to some of the other social services agencies where you're waiting in a line outside. And it's just in uncomfortable and undignifying experience. When they walk into NODA at 28th Creative Arts Studios, no one knows why they're going here. They assume they're going in there for one of the many other services that that facility provides, like fitness classes or some audition or dance rehearsal or whatever, a photo shoot. And Port Amour is located in the back of the facility. Myself and my amazing volunteers, who we affectionately call guardians, our guardians create a shopping experience for our clients. So they have been instructed to make those folks feel like they're at Macy's shopping. So they handle them like as if they were a retail attendant handling someone who was coming to pay for merchandise. And everything is itemized and on tables and on racks. And people get to shop with dignity. And they walk out with shopping bags. Or if they got furniture, they walk out with furniture, appliances, or electronics. And it's intentionally a dignifying experience. So if someone is interested in donating new or gently used clothes, shoes, appliances, furniture, new paper products, new toiletries, new underwear, new socks. Our hours are Tuesday through Friday from 1 p.m. until 7 p.m. Tuesday through Friday from 1 p.m. until 7 p.m. And we are taking donations by appointment. So you can call 980-309-1318. That's 980-309-1318. And set up an appointment to drop off your donation. And if you are in need, if you are someone who is currently receiving Social Security disability benefits, if you're currently receiving food stamps, if you are couch surfing, if you are homeless, if you are a senior citizen, if you are a veteran who has served this country, we want to serve you. And you can call that same number, 980-309-1318, call or text, and we will get you an appointment to shop. If you like to give, we'll get you an appointment to drop off your donations.
Wow. You are something else. We need to bottle you and preserve you. I know that you've got a couple of awards, the 2015 recipient of the City of Charlotte's Martin Luther King Jr. Medallion Award for Community Service and Achievement of the Arts. Also, co-founder of Charlotte Black Pride, South Carolina.
I'm originally from Miami, Florida, and I came to Charlotte. I don't want to tell my age.
Okay.
But I came to Charlotte some time ago, and I got a scholarship to UNCC Charlotte. And I was a young man, you know, finding my way. It's so interesting. I didn't know anything about North Carolina coming from Miami, coming from an Afro-Caribbean family in Miami. All I knew about North Carolina was the Andy Griffin Show. So as we were flying, I kept thinking on the flight here, where are they going to land this big plane? You know, something like Mayberry. So I'm like, there's no big airport in Mayberry. Maybe there's a field where they're landing like little small planes. Like, where are they going to land this huge plane? So, you know, I was really pleased. You know, as you're coming into Charlotte, you can see the Charlotte skyline.
Yeah.
I was so pleased to see that skyline because I thought, you know, I don't have to adjust to Mayberry.
Okay.
So, you know, that was pleasant.
When we first moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, I was like, because we wanted Atlanta. Everybody wants Atlanta. We're trying to get there by the Olympics. And, you know, when they said Charlotte, North Carolina, I'm like, what is Charlotte? And then when we got here, like, oh, my gosh, this is a pretty amazing city.
I love Charlotte. For a while, I joked that I've probably been moving for the last 6 or 7 years because every year it's like, I'm moving. But, you know, Charlotte, you know, and back in the day, Charlotte was like a gold rush. You know, people came to Charlotte to, you know, because Charlotte had gold and North Carolina had gold. I think, like, in a figurative way, we're still a gold rush city. You know, like, this city is filled with opportunity. You know, we complain about the cost of living here, and it is increasing. but it's a lot worse in other places, certainly worse than Miami, where I'm from. The home that I live in now, the neighborhood that I live in, I would not be able to afford this if I was living in South Florida. And the opportunities that I've had to impact my community and to be embedded in this community in the way that I have, not being native here, I just wouldn't have probably had those opportunities where I came from, because it's so saturated and it's, you know, so much talent there. I mean, certainly there's a great deal of talent here. And a lot of people who move, you know, live in Charlotte are transplants like myself. So that brings a really dynamic, interesting vibe, too, because there are people from larger cities coming here, and they have those larger city aspirations and experiences, and they want to create those here. And that's kind of how Charlotte Black Pride came to be. I came from Miami, Florida, which is, you know, an affluent LGBTQ community. And as I was coming into myself as a Black gay man here in Charlotte, I noticed at the time there was just invisibility of the Black LGBT community. And I was looking for community and I could not find it. I saw it in the white LGBT community. But what I knew was that there is a such thing as Black LGBT culture. And there's a such thing as Latin LGBT culture and Asian LGBT culture, because I've seen those things, those cultures manifest and celebrated in the city that I came from. So I wanted to create that here, and so did the other folk who co-founded Charlotte Pride with me. They were also from other cities, and they wanted to create that here and wanted to get rid of the invisibility of the Black LGBT community. So I'm excited that Charlotte Black Pride is still in existence, and had it not been for COVID, we would have actually celebrated our 15th year. This is the first year in 15 years that we have not had a Black Pride cultural celebration. The wonderful thing about Black Pride, and all prides for that matter, is that it's just that. It's a cultural celebration. It's just like, you know, the Puerto Rican festival that they have every year here, or the Greek festival that they have every year. When you go to those festivals, you don't just see Greek and Latino people. You see people from all walks of life and all races and such. And the same is true of Pride. It's a celebration of LGBT culture, but not exclusive to those people.
Right.
And that has always been something that was really important to us. So once South Carolina heard about what we did here, they asked us, particularly the community in Columbia, South Carolina, asked us to come down there and help them mount their first pride. So we did that in 2006. And then in 2007, we did the same thing in the Triangle area, the Raleigh-Durham Chapel Hill area. And we gave them technical assistance to start their first pride. So I'm really proud to have been involved in those three historic moments in our city, in our state.
You've been doing a lot of grassroots things and making them big and making them amazing. If you're just not tuning in, we got a new best friend. It's Jermaine Nakia Lee. We've been talking about Poor No More. We've been talking about the city of Charlotte. We've been talking about mentalities, you know, the blocks that we have when you think about being poor. You know, will I be this way all my life? Well, you know, some of the systems are set up for that. But I think we can think our way out of it, maybe, possibly. But we do need to mention June the 6th. June the 6th, mark those calendars. What are we going to be doing on June the 6th?
June the 6th, we are having our fifth Poor No More Coronavirus Relief Community Free Store. So, you know, as we stated, by appointment, people can always call us at 980-309-1318 to make an appointment to shop at our free store or our food pantry. But we understand that, you know, during this particular pandemic and the stay-at-home order that many of us are having to adhere to, it's difficult for people to come out. So we're just creating a full-day shopping experience where we are receiving shoppers by appointment on Saturday, June 6th, from 12 p.m. until 4 p.m. at our location, located at 2424 North Davidson Street, Suite 110. If you're in need of food, if you're in need of clothing, if you need of toiletries, paper products, we have some appliances, we have electronics, we have minimal furniture right now. But if you're in need of any of those things, or if you would like to donate any of those things, if you have new or very gently used donation items, you can drop them off on that day, Saturday, June 6th, between 12 noon and 4 p.m. Or you can call us in advance at 980-309-1318 and set up an appointment to make a donation. So we're really excited. So we have served in our last four community free store events, we have served literally 335 individuals, but we know we've impacted even more than that number because most of those folk have children at home.
Right.
And they have seniors at home that they are also taking care of. And many of them were shopping for people in their neighborhoods who are physically disabled and unable to come out. So we know we've impacted more than that, but we literally served about 350 folks.
We need to go to Facebook, Instagram, Poor No More, Poor No More. If you want to actually get involved on June the 6th, you can text 980-309-1318. You are the man, Jermaine Nakia Lee, the man.
I'm just trying to be like you, see?
Okay, can you inspire us? Because everybody I'm talking to, and myself included, every day is not the same. Every day is different, although we're staying at home, working at home, doing everything from home. And sometimes we are attached to that refrigerator. I need to put an alarm on my refrigerator. Not that that would stop me, but maybe. I don't know. We're in this lull, whatever it is. Will we ever get out of our house? Will we get another job? Will we? You know, that unknown kind of thing. Lift us up for 60 seconds.
Well, you know, there's so much I can say. I've lived a lot of different lives. You know, I've been a student. I've been an awardee. I have lived out of my car. I've been homeless. I've had to stand in soup kitchen lines. But today, I own four businesses. I'm a father. And I'm a respected person in this community. And that didn't happen by luck or happenstance. It happened because one day my soul literally just opened up and I just got tired of being tired. I got tired of my circumstance and I decided that I wasn't going to be poor anymore. So we as people of color and people of African descent historically have faced a lot of things that are a lot more challenging than the COVID-19 virus. When you think about the history of challenge in our community, this ain't nothing. So if our ancestors got through the Middle Passage, if they got through slavery, if they got through Jim Crow, if they got through the Civil Rights Movement, if they got through the war on drugs, if they got through the AIDS epidemic, hey, if they got through, you know, Bush Senior, Bush Junior, and now Trump, we can do this. And we are standing on the shoulders of an amazing and powerful cloud of witnesses who are abiding with us. And the sun will rise again. You know, literally, we will go to work again. And we'll be able to go out to dinner again. We'll be able to go out to a social event again. But right now, focus. This is a time to be intentionally selfish. Focus on self right now. This is a time to recalibrate. Really look inward and think about the life that you want to live and the kind of world that you want to live in and how you can impact that world. One declaration that I've made for myself during this time, and it's kind of become my personal motto, is I will not spend the rest of my life making somebody else rich. Mm. I just kind of decided that in this season. That I am going to invest in myself and I want to create a financial legacy for myself and for generations after me and for my community. Because the more I have, the more I am able to give to my community and not just my local community here in Charlotte, but the African diaspora. I would love to be in a place financially where I can build schools in West Africa and help African countries work on their infrastructure. That land is the land where all life began, and that land has been raped and pillaged for years. And I believe that when we sow back into that place where life began and where civilization began, it'll create a balance all over the world. But it starts in your heart first, and then it starts in your family, and then it starts in your local community. And then if you inspire to do so, that energy can then reach the entire world. But it first starts in your heart. So, you know, Francine, I would encourage people to really search their hearts if they are people of faith and if they are believers, ask the God of their understanding to open up their heart, to give them discernment and wisdom during this period, and to give them the courage to do the things that are really their heart's desire.
Sit down with self and have a little talk, I say a walkie-talkie, where you go outside and you walk and you talk to yourself. You know, it's the best time ever.
Nobody... Oh, listen. I know my neighbors think I'm a schizophrenic. That's my thing.
I love it.
I don't have a head voice. I don't have a head voice. I just have to just talk out loud. So I know they think, like, either he is certifiable.
And that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing.
I guess.
Yeah, it is. Certified in self. You are amazing, Jermaine Nakia Lee. Give it up for Jermaine. Yay. Okay, Pour No More. Go there on Facebook. Go there on Instagram. And we will see you later. Thank you so much, Jermaine.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
You're listening to the Francine Marie Show. We're popping out for a quick cup of tea, but we'll be right back.
Please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing, the Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.